See you at the show coming up next. Stay with us after that for Surfabilly Freakout at 6 p.m., Alter Ego in the evening at 7, Roots, Rock, and Reggae at 8 p.m., and Get in Your Jammies at 10. Welcome to See You at the Show. This is your host, Eric Schacht, once again bringing you a weekly 30 minutes of action and information about what is going on in the Champaign-Urbana community theater scene. We have an exciting show tonight as we transition from summer to fall seasons. We've got kind of a break in the actual shows going on in town. And so we're going to take a look at theater from a different sort of perspective tonight, focusing on the musical element of it. First, let's get into what is now playing, which is nothing is playing in town right now in community theater. However, exciting news out of Chicago, which was that Come From Away was extended for an extra 2 weeks. So if you didn't get to see it in its first 3 week run, I was fortunate enough to see it. It's one of the best Chicago musicals I've ever seen, and it's winning tons of awards. It's going to be going back to Broadway. A really inspiring and beautiful post 9/11 one act 90 minute show about all the things that are difficult and good about being human. But anyway, 2 more weeks, August 25th to September 6th at the Cadillac Theater in Chicago. And other local music note is just that this is the last Friday Night Live coming up downtown. I know Angie Heaton, a great singer-songwriter, is one of the performers, but as always, they will have 5 or 6 venues going at the same time. Audition information, we had casts announced this week for No Exit at Twin City and also for A Farinelli at the King at the Station. Really talented groups. I'm excited for a lot of people I've seen before. Rodney Woodworth, Karen Marisi, both in Farinelli. James Hevel got the Farinelli role. It's tremendous. A male soprano voice I'm excited to hear. My old buddy David Heckman is in it. So really exciting cast there. Rest of it is online. No Exit, which is that really interesting play that actually inspired The Good Place, which is one of the most creative and cool shows on television right now. That's going to Twin City Theater Company is doing that, directed by Aaron Polk. Fun cast, Nico Perez Jandrich, Gabrielle Smith, Antonella Ortiz, and Dylan Heck as the boy. So the main three characters are trapped in hell, and they were put there together to torture each other, but they figure that out. No more spoilers. Exciting news, if you're interested in getting involved in a show, this is a big weekend. This is maybe a critical weekend for you to get involved because there are auditions for 3 different shows. There's the Parkland auditions, which is Saturday 9 to 1. Simultaneously auditioning for Elephant's Graveyard, which is being directed by Latrell Bright, and that is the first show to go, October 3rd through the 13th. I've read this play. It's a true story about a really tragic part of our nation's history, at least from the treatment of animals. 100 years ago, something really, I don't know, sick happened. And this is a play about it. But I think it's important to see, and I'm really curious about how she casts it. They're casting 17 actors, 13 and over, all genders and ethnicities. Think about it. Also, really cool way of Latrell's doing it. Auditionees are asked to prepare a 1 to 1.5 minute story in the first person. So I'm thinking of heading over there just to hang out in the theater and see if I can watch these first these little 1 minute stories in the first person. That seems really fun. Other play is Peter and the Starcatcher, kind of the prequel to Peter Pan, which is directed by Matthew Green. That's going up November 4th to the 24th. They're looking for all 18 plus with their actors, but 12 performers, any gender, any ethnic background. I've worked with Matthew. It's a great opportunity to work with one of the best directors in the area. I really encourage you to consider getting involved in that cast. I hear that there are a lot of people already signed up for auditions, but you can still do so. Go online. You can either go to the CUAtTheShow.com website or check out what Parkland has online. Last audition note is the station just announced that auditions for Will Eno's The Realistic Joneses is coming up. I think Deb Richardson, I don't have it in my notes, but I believe Deb Richardson is doing that, directing that. That's a three-week run, as always, at the station. And auditions are Sunday and Monday. Sunday afternoon, 3:30 to 5:30, and Monday evening from 6 to 8. So really, you've got Saturday, Sunday, and Monday when you can get your auditions on. For Will Eno's The Realistic Joneses, it's just cold readings from the script, so show up at the station. I think they have a sign-up. I don't know much about this play, but it looks like it's a complex relationship sort of thing. All two married couples, and their relationships begin to irrevocably intertwine. So, curious. Casting four actors, 35 and over. So, today at the show, I'm joined by two local musicians, instructors, directors, who I just got to see perform at the station in the last 5 years, and that is Chris Huffman and Barbara Hedlund. Welcome to See You at the Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you here, and it's it was nice to not just hear you work, but it was interesting with the last 5 years to get to see you work with kind of the open pit that they did over there. Mm-hmm. So first of all, congratulations on being part of what I thought was a real incredible part of the local theater scene, to do not just a story like that, but a musical like that in that little space was really nice. Mm-hmm. And do either of you have any previous experience at the station?
I do.
No, this was my first experience at the station, and it was amazing. I absolutely loved it.
Chris, where are you from?
I'm from Danville.
Okay.
Yeah, so most of my previous theater experience has been in Danville. So this was actually my first theater experience in Champaign, and it was a great experience. So I'm hoping, you know, for future projects.
And you were musical director for last 5 years.
Yes.
Is that, do you have previous experience as a musical director?
Yes.
What is your background?
I've directed several shows for DLO Musical Theater in Danville. The last show I had music directed before this one was Sister Act.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you've never directed in Champaign before. You don't live in Champaign. How did this come about?
I know Chelsea. Chelsea has been in several Danville productions, and she just messaged me one night. She said, it's a long shot, but I thought maybe would you be interested in music directing the last 5 years? I'm like, yes, of course. You know, I've seen several shows at the station, and I absolutely love the quality of work that comes out of there. So I was, I was chomping at the bit to do it. So
were you familiar with the show?
Vaguely, yeah. They had done it previously at DAC a few years ago.
Okay.
And so I was vaguely familiar with it, but I quickly became familiar with it.
Yeah. Well, Chelsea Collier, of course, is a wonderful actress herself, and so and I think this is maybe the second show that I've seen that she's directed. And so then, is the task come upon you as the music director then to put together your ensemble of players?
Yes. Yeah, right. Mostly. I think Chelsea did have she did have someone in mind for bass and guitar, which was John Faw. And normally when gathering my musicians, I have a network of people that I can choose from. But not being familiar with the Champaign music scene, I relied on Facebook. It became a useful tool to me.
Oh, wow.
So I put out an open call out on Facebook, and I got Barbara.
You got Barbara from Facebook.
I got Barbara from Facebook.
I was recommended.
No longer Barbara Hedlund. It's now Barbara from Facebook.
Yeah.
And my, actually, Chelsea knew the piano player, Ty Tuttle. And so I contacted him, and the producers actually found Colin Jung for me.
At preschool? I mean, that guy is so young.
He's 16, but man, is he talented.
I know. I was just joking because I didn't think he was as young as I later found him out to be, because he is most visible probably. Well, yeah. Now, Barbara, you were center, so yeah. You drew my eye a lot, but he was on the end, mm-hmm. and there were a lot of times during that show when some of the musical, when the music is more interesting and strong than the vocals, and I would be drawn over there, and he was fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Very talented. All of you were very talented. And so, and Barbara, you were the cellist, is that right?
Yes, I was.
Is that your primary instrument?
Yes, it is.
And what is your, tell me a little bit about your background.
I have a varied background, but it's all in music. I'm a professional cellist and a teacher and an orchestra manager and a music publisher and a wife and a mother and now a grandmother.
Well, congratulations on A through Z there.
Yeah.
In looking at you up a little bit beforehand, because all I know is that when my mother saw you perform in the last 5 years, she said, "Did you know Barbara Hedlund is in this? She's a local legend." But then when I looked even more, it's not just a local legend. You've actually performed on Broadway.
I have for many years.
Wow.
I'm actually a Broadway pensioner. I got my check today.
You did? Really? Well, you should have brought it in. I would have loved to have seen what that looks like. And shared in, let's just keep boosting your ego a little bit, Emmys and Tonys and Grammys.
Yeah.
We
had a lot of good productions, and the Emmy actually was for a local production for WILL TV. We did a documentary on the music of the poetry of Carl Sandburg with music written by Daniel Stephen Crass for the late legendary tenor Jerry Hadley.
Okay.
And it was a production that I was the music producer and cellist for, so we were very fortunate to win the Emmy and also many other awards for it, or nominations for awards for the song and the slogan.
And so was that trajectory, was that, had you come from here to New York, or were you based out of, were you East Coast at one point?
I was East Coast for over 10 years.
Okay.
And my husband was tired of touring on the road. He was a successful opera singer, and he'd been living out of a suitcase for about 25 years. And we decided when he got a job offer here that might be a better place to raise a child. So we up and left.
And so he's been on the music faculty here at the U of I?
Yes, he's a professor emeritus right now, but he's still performing.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And both of you are involved or in instruction of music at some level, is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what do you do, Chris?
I teach piano.
Okay, and that is your, and you have a Chris Huffman Music Studio, or Huffman Music Studio,
Huffman
is that what you
Music
call it?
Studio, yeah, on Facebook.
Okay, and is that, are you taking new students all the time, or?
I do have a few openings right now. I teach at B&J Music in Danville.
Okay.
But I do have a few openings, yeah.
All right, and what about you, Barbara? Are you also instructing?
I am instructing all levels and all ages. I've been a college professor, and now I'm an independent instructor.
Okay, and that is it just in strings?
Just in strings.
Okay.
Chamber music.
I shouldn't say just in strings. I meant
only
in strings.
Only focusing on string instrument, yes. I mean, I do orchestral coaching and chamber music coaching as well if someone needs it, but primarily the focus is on how to play the cello and mm-hmm. be versatile in all opportunities that arise.
Well, we talked before about how you put your ensemble together, and I know that for at the station right now, for the casting of Farinelli and the King, they are short on musicians. Do they have a music director? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't realize it was actually, there was music involved.
Oh, right. Well,
Tanya,
yeah, it's not a musical, but there's the primary character Farinelli is a singer, and so they must accompany him. And I think that Barbara, you were telling me that they're looking maybe for a quartet now.
At least a minimum of a quartet. Tanya Combs is, I believe, the music
to
be the music director. And we've had a lot of talks. We are colleagues. Actually, I first met her when she was, I can't remember this, I shouldn't say first. She was singing in a production at the Station Theater in a show called Game of Love, and which was basically music that ran, I think, quite a while, and maybe 40 years ago or so.
Wow.
Based on the music of Jacques Offenbach, but it was a comedy. And she also sang in various productions at the Lyric Theater before it was called Illinois Opera Theater, and then it was Music at Illinois. The opera department kind of has gone through different name iterations over the years. And I remember she sang with us in the Danville Symphony for a gala program.
So you have roots in Danville also.
I do. I've been the principal cellist of the Danville Symphony for 25 years.
Wow. Well, I'm learning more about the, just in preparing for the show today, about the scene in Danville, the theater scene. And I didn't even know that the DLO musical theater existed. And now I've been in touch with, I think his name was Paul Strain. Is that his first name?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to come on the show next week to talk to me about the DLO musical theater scene. Because I've met his son, Jerry Strain, who's a wonderfully talented high school boy.
Yes,
and he's got a big role coming up in Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the lion after a great turn as the Beast. So he's kind of got a furry... strong, or no, I guess the lion is not strong.
Is he getting typecast?
Yeah, I worry for him in that sense, but it seems like a typecast that he loves, that's for sure. And so there are a few other music. So anyway, we're getting back to what Tanya and Farinelli, she's looking for, if you're a violin player, she also has mentioned that a harpsichord might be something she wants to work into the show. So Farinelli is going up, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's the first show at the station, which means early October.
Early October.
Yeah, and it'll be a 3-week run, so that's complicated.
Yeah,
it probably is why we're talking about it.
Yeah. Well, it's complicated to find musicians at that time of year because there's so many orchestras working at that time. That's one of the things that I do as a orchestra contractor and a regional gig mom, as I'm called affectionately. Is keeping track of all the musicians and where they're playing and who's hired them and keeping track of the schedules of all the orchestras. So when you're looking for a musician, you don't steal from somebody else's pot because then they won't talk to you again.
Well,
we contractors help each other. We orchestra managers are in need sometimes of finding good musicians, but if they're already under contract to somebody else, you're losing searching time trying to find someone else. So I've been able to warn Tanya about the obstacle she's up against and send her a score and give her some suggestions about where she can find players who would be able to commit to that long a period.
Yeah, it's such a long run. That was one of the main things that I was running into also, is because there's 13 shows and it runs into, 3 weeks and there's weekdays and weeknights and weekends. And yeah, finding someone who is able to play the music and can commit to that time period is tough.
Right. Well, it sounds like the network is pretty informal, and that gives me some ideas about what might be a void in the community. Like, one of the inspirations for me doing the show was how in Champaign there's fiefdoms, it seems like, of all the theaters, and not a place where somebody can go to find out what are all the auditions going on in Champaign-Urbana, what are all the shows going on in Champaign-Urbana. And so my website and my Facebook page is trying to be a hub for that, and maybe there's a place to have a hub for musician needs as well.
Well, there is, and it's called First Choice Music Services.
Okay.
So I'll be the music.
Okay, let's go.
And you are the hub for all things theater.
Yes, I will not step on your turf, but I think I should publish. Yes.
We work together. I've been contracting in this region and for 35 years now, and when people need musicians, they contact me.
All right, Barbara.
All sorts of events, whether they're orchestral or choral, or this weekend it's recitals and memorial services. You just never know. I've had people want to have a bagpiper for a special event.
Well, this is fun. I'd be happy to help spread the word about that and to be kind of work in conjunctive ways with you if possible.
We need to in this community. That's one of the reasons I helped found the Urbana Public Arts Commission, is so we could all work together towards a common cause.
Yeah. Well, thank you both so much for coming in. Time always flies. I've got a call-in guest right now to round out the show, who also is actually playing on Broadway right now, Rachel Handman. But Barbara and Chris, thank you so much for coming in. And again, just great work with last 5 years. I was really happy to hear you
when we
play.
Thank you so much.
And at Club Playing Out the Show, we're going to play some of the Shmuel song, which you were both featured in, and again, just, and I'll share with you how I got those secret clips, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. Let us know.
Thanks again for coming in.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is Eric Schacht at See You at the Show. I am currently joined by a New York freelance violinist, Rachel Handman, who is currently working
on Broadway. Okay. Hi, Rachel. How are you?
Longer. I really appreciate
Hi,
you
Eric.
Coming
I'm
in.
Great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It's really exciting to have you on the line and being and have a chance
so have to come back in
talk
and talk
music
again.
With you because you've had an incredible and unique music career. And I thought it would be interesting on a show where we're talking about music
in
theater
services and
to have you join us and tell us some about your life and your times. What are you currently involved in?
I'm currently subbing on a bunch of different shows. Tonight I'll be playing Ain't Too Proud, which is the Temptations musical. And next week I'll be going into the pit of Moulin Rouge, which I've been practicing for all day. So,
have you seen Moulin Rouge yet?
I have not. I've sat in the pit and I've watched it from that perspective, but I would love to see it.
Oh, wow. I am just, that is the last straw of an excuse that I need to get back out to New York and get into the get to the show, because when I was there for Hadestown, I couldn't believe that I didn't also see Moulin Rouge, but that's amazing. So congratulations on that. Are those the only two shows you're kind of rotating in on right now?
Yes, because there's several shows that have just closed. So King Kong was, one that I was playing on, which was really fun. And that just closed, and My Fair Lady just closed. And so it's always a constantly changing, situation in New York.
So 6 or 7 hours from now, you're going to be in the pit of Ain't Too Proud on Broadway.
Yes.
And that's just another day in the life of Rachel Handman.
I have to say, Eric, it's really exciting. I feel like somehow this is what I was supposed to be doing. And I don't know if I even realized, you know, how much I was going to enjoy just the variety and the professionalism and the excitement of doing the Broadway shows. It's really satisfying for me.
So a little girl from upstate New York is suddenly on the stage at the Tony Awards. That's quite a story.
Yes. So as you know, I grew up in Hyde Park, New York, a very beautiful small town about 2 hours from the city. But I have to say, I always loved going in for Broadway shows. I was obsessed with Annie, as I think every little girl in the 1980s was. Mm-hmm. And I actually auditioned for it when I was in third grade for the show.
Okay.
It's one of the most terrifying memories I have, because I was so nervous. I was shaking like a leaf. But I grew up just loving musicals, loving being part of my high school musicals. And, you know, it was a whole thing.
What? I guess it's good for you in the long run that you didn't get cast as Annie, because who knows what trajectory you would have taken in your life. But you trained in, you're classically trained musician, and you play, I know, a whole variety of instruments. What are the ones that your expertise is in?
I definitely, violin is my main instrument, and I did start, you know, very young. I was 5 years old. And I grew up in a family of musicians, so we actually performed a lot in my childhood. And I guess you could say we had a show. So for that, I learned like the clarinet and the trumpet and a little bit of drums. And so there was always an aspect of variety act going on in my house. And I guess I feel like now I get to live that out, you know, in a bigger scale, you know, in the city. I feel like that has come in very handy for me.
Well, you mentioned that My Fair Lady just closed, but was My Fair Lady also your first kind of touring show?
Yes, and it was many years ago, Eric. I think it was about 25 that I toured Germany and a little bit of Switzerland and Sweden with a production of My Fair Lady, and it was a thrill for me.
And then what was your first entry into the world actually of being on Broadway?
Well, that was really a wild coincidence. I was still living actually in Poughkeepsie, New York, and I got a phone call from a contractor just basically saying, would you want to be a part of this show? And the show was Dr. Zhivago. Wow. Which I thought was a very interesting, you know, such a drama and such an incredible movie. And I thought, oh boy, can they do this show and make it work? And I think it worked in Australia, but New York did not fall for it. So I did. I said yes, because I knew I wanted to be working on Broadway. I moved to New York, and then I went through the whole rehearsal process and the opening night, and we closed in 3 weeks.
Oh, no. And that's and you've had to get used to that over time, I imagine, with something that feels great, and then it just doesn't hold up.
I mean, it's a wild ride, absolutely, you know, and you just don't know what to expect, but it's, you know, you just do the job and go through the emotions.
And you've made this your career, right? Your career is in music and nothing else.
Oh, definitely, 100%. Yep, between teaching and playing and, you know, working on Broadway and playing in orchestras and quartets and doing recordings. And, you know, there's a whole thing, a lot of freelancing that you can do and you can make it your living.
Wow. We need to see how what your calendar system looks like. Cause it sounds like insane to keep all of this straight.
It is hard.
So what would if there are, young musicians listening and trying to think about how they could make their way to doing bigger and better things or making their way to the Chicago or New York, what would your advice to them be?
I would say, obviously, being the best musician you can be just within your own self. So working on your own instrument, working on having the best possible skills to bring to the table is very, very important. But there's also a lot of social skills and just, I guess the biggest thing I've learned is being a team player. That's what this is actually all about. You know, the musicians are all blending. They're all listening. They're all, sometimes we're playing with a click track in our headphones. It's a constant balancing act. And that's been the most thrilling, is just how it works as this incredible machine and how you're just a tiny part of it, but that can be a really big thrill. So I would just say, you know, realize that you're part of a team and try to bring something special and unique to that team, but you're not a one woman show, that is for sure.
Do you often get to interact or get to know any of the stars of the shows when you do this? You're also a star of the show, but I mean the onstage stars of the show.
Yeah, right. No, I love that question. You do get to see everybody in kind of their most, you know, humble form, because they're rocking around the theater and stretching and in sweatpants. And so, you know, usually I really try to respect just the space that they might need, but we're always smiling and saying hello. And sometimes, you know, I will become friends with one of the actors just because it feels natural and, you know, authentic.
Yeah. Well, Rachel,
in fact, now that you mention it, I have one quick story from Something Rotten. The actor that played Nigel Bottom, he called me and I'm going to be playing at his wedding.
Hey, hey. Well, as somebody who's heard you play at a wedding before, I would say that he is a very, very lucky man. And I now have something in common with him that I can tell him. That's really exciting. And thank you so much for joining us. And this breaking news of Moulin Rouge is going to have me looking at Orbit's plane tickets very, very soon. So,
well, yes, you should see that. But my own breaking news is that I'm going to be doing West Side Story and have a chair in it in December. We go into previews. So
that's fantastic. Having a chair in West Side Story, gosh. And that opens in December?
We start previews in December and it opens February 6th. So you might have several reasons to fly here, Eric.
That sounds like a Valentine's Day surprise for my wife.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So, all right, Rachel. Well, go and bring some upstate pride to Ain't Too Proud tonight. And I'm really excited to have gotten this chance to talk with you. Thanks for joining us on See You at the Show.
Thank you so much, Eric.
All right. Bye.